Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's interim report, January to June 2017 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 28th of July 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Per Oscarsson. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to this presentation of the interim report. With me on my side here, I also have Carl Lindström, who is interim CFO for the company. And we will start directly with the presentation and go to the first slide where we show the head numbers for this quarter and this first 6 months. The quarter was characterized by stable sales, which we believe are in line with the market development. And we had, thanks to good cost control and cost saving program, and also some better margins, we achieved an EBIT result of 174 million, which is clearly better than last year. I will be back a little bit later and explain how this EBIT development has occurred. And then we'll go directly to the segment presentations, and we'll start with MECA, who had a good second quarter. The gross margin was improved. We have a sales growth to the affiliated workshops, MECA Car Service. We also have a dub sales within MECA in MECA Norway, which has been good in the quarter. And also a good development in Prekas, which is our workshop equipment company, renamed from Opus Equipment. And just shortly to explain that, when we acquired Opus Equipment from Opus Group, we had in the contract the right to use the name for 2 years, and those 2 years has expired now. That's the reason for the name change. It's nothing dramatic about that. EBIT 87 million, and we have now an EBIT margin of 16% in the quarter. The underlying net sales went up 5% this quarter. Then we continue with Mekonomen Sweden, which I believe has the most interest of our different segments. And here we have a stable development in the quarter. We have improved the gross margin, and the cost reduction has been successful, and the program which we have announced before are following plan and actually is somewhat a little bit better than planned. However, I would not say that Mekonomen Sweden is completely fixed. We have a good organization now in place, and we have the new business model, but we need to continue to focus on getting back market shares and to have a stable and improved sales growth. When we compare the results compared to last year, there's also some non-recurring effects, and I will be back to them a little bit later. But EBIT margin 11% from 8 last year, and we also here have a good underlying increase of net sales at 4%. Then we head on to Mekonomen Norway, where we have not as good result as last year. We have increased costs. We have that's transportation costs and some other costs which has increased this quarter. We have good sales in DAB products, but with a lower margin. And we also have increased sales to affiliated workshop, which also affect the margin negatively. The net sales is still up 5%, but the EBIT ended in 33 compared to 42 last year. Sørensen og Balchen had a very good second quarter when they ended up with an EBIT of 39 million and an EBIT percentage of 18. Very good sales development, 14% up. This is the company which is doing very good in the sales of DAB products, but also in the other area of accessories. That affects the gross margin somewhat negatively, but as you see, we still achieve a very good result in Sørensen og Balchen. And then on the next slide is the development of EBIT. And as you can see, we start from 161 last year, and then we have a very good development in Mekonomen in Sweden. However, we had last year in the second quarter, we had 9 million, which was non-recurring effects. And then we have the Mekonomen Norway, which reduced the development with 9, and then the positive effect in Meka and Sørensen og Balchen ended up at 174. I'll continue and go to the market and growth and the market trends. We believe that we had a stable market in the second quarter. And we have said this before, and it's still what we believe in, that provided that scrapping or export doesn't increase from the current level, we see potential for increasing overall market. Thanks to that, we had during a couple of years now very good sales of new cars, and those cars should soon enter the age where it's where we have the best market shares. I will continue to the sales growth by customer group, and here it's quite small differences. It is the affiliated workshops which are doing best. Consumers and other B2B are slightly down. And then the partner store, which is quite a small part of the area, has decreased somewhat. Looking to the next page, where you can see the share of these customers, you can see that this partner stores, they ends up at 6.2% of the total group, and the affiliated workshops share increases, and that's what's strategic, very important for us, and that is an effect of our customer focus and improvement in and investment in quality. I'll continue with the next slide, which is the number of stores in the different chains. And we have very small changes. And this is not a growing area. This is a distribution network, which we are quite happy with as it is. We will see and have seen some small changes. But it's more on the level that we open up one or two more stores, but maybe close down someone else. So this is not to be seen as the focus area for us. Next slide, it's more important that is the affiliated workshops, which also has a quite stable development. And it's of course very important to have the numbers, and I think we have a very good coverage in the different brands throughout Sweden and Norway. However, we of course like these workshops to be stronger and to be maybe have more mechanics, which I will be back to a little bit later. Next slide is about ProMeister, and we increased the share of spare part sales to 14.7%. That's not very big increasement from the last from 42 last year. However, it's very important for us to all the time have the right quality before we launch any new categories. Between last year and now, it has been mostly more products within already launched categories. But we will see during the rest of year and in the future new categories in ProMeister, which will definitely increase the total share. I will move on to some update of our central warehouse project, which is proceeding according to plan. And this is the new central warehouse, which will be located in Strängnäs, together with the existing warehouse for Mekonomen, and to be the one central warehouse for the group. We have the base lab ready, and we will start the building for the new part of the warehouse. But we're also at the moment installing the picking stations and the decantation stations, as you can see on those pictures. So this is a very huge, important and interesting project, and which, as I said, proceeds according to plan. Then I would like to talk a little bit about how we make sure that we have workshops that are ready for the future and can be competitive in the future. We have our ProMeister Academy, which is our training for mechanics, which has been very successful in Sweden, where we had a almost 70% growth of number of course days during the first 6 months. And this is very good, and it's very important, because that means that we have the interest and the awareness from the workshop that they need to continue to develop their skills and to be able to take care about modern cars and new technology. We also have an interesting let's say project in Norway, where the vehicle inspection is done by normal workshops, not like in Sweden when it's a separate business. And there is a proposal which will be decided by the Norwegian Stortinget in the autumn, that these workshops should have a deeper training to be able to do these tests. And this is a good opportunity for our ProMeister Academy in Norway. And they are well prepared to take on that challenge. We also start the ProMeister Automotive program in Sweden, which takes place in Stockholm and in the Lund outside Malmö. This is the first two classes, so of course it will not help in the short run, but this is also a very interesting way to be able to ensure that the quality of the education meets the standard which the workshops needs, and also to get our brands closer to the young and new mechanics. We also As we said earlier, which you can hear from other actors in the market also, there is a lack of good, well-educated mechanics. We would like to call them automotive engineers instead of mechanics. That's one way which we in where we try to higher the image and the status of this occupation, and it's I think it's also very important that we can that they attract the right ones. We are doing a campaign where we are searching for 100. We're quite sure that 100 is the number which we can hire immediately, even next Monday if it should be needed. We have, in the long run, a higher demand. And so far, this campaign has been quite successful, and we have more than 40 persons which is in the recruitment process. And more coming in. Next slide, customer demand for digitalization. We can see an increased interest in digital booking service, and we had in June a record month so far in the number of bookings through our Price Direct service. And as you can see in this slide also, the demand for digital bookings is increasing, but still telephone is by far the most wanted way of booking the service or repair. Eco cars and electrical cars and how it affects us. We have a continued growth in environmental friendly cars, 66% up in Sweden the last 12 months. In Norway, we have every second car sold is in one way or another chargeable. And together in Sweden, Norway, it's about 200 cars on the roads now. What we do is that we have launched an assortment of accessories for these rechargeable cars. We also plans for charging station next to our stores and workshops. And of course, we will continue and have an increased participation of electrical hybrid training within the Promaster Academy. We launch both new training courses and we also have update courses for those who are already educated. And then, as we have announced, we will have a new CFO. Åsa Källenius will start here in a couple of weeks, 15th of August. She has previously served as CFO in Telefon Sweden, among others. And during this last months and until then we have Carl Lindström as an interim CFO. And my last slide is repeating what we have said about our focus areas for 2017. It's Mekonomen Sweden who has very high focus where we need to get back market shares and get sales to grow again. We'll focus on cost control. We have continued quality assurance, both in workshop and our different concepts. Continued focus on Promaster Academy and the Promaster products. Then we have the strategic projects, central warehouse I mentioned, but there can I also mention that the new e-commerce platform is also working according to plan, and we will start to launch here in the second half of the year. And then, of course, always look for growth and innovation combine with good entrepreneurship. That was my presentation, and now we'll open up for questions. So, operator, can you help us?
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. The first question comes from the line of Stellan Hellström from Nordea. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. First, I had a question on your cost savings program. When you report Q2 numbers, are they sort of on the full run rate already now?
I would say there's two programs. So the first one, the 25 million, that has full effect already. The second program, which we announced in in January, in 20 million, has not still full effect, but it's planned to have effect from full effect from the third quarter.
Hmm.
But it's right, according to plan.
But and then on these cost programs and especially on the development in Mekonomen and Norway, I think over the last sort of 2 years you had had quite decent sales growth there, but earnings are down some 30% in the first half. It seems that costs are really going up in Norway despite your ambitions to save. So I was just, if you can comment what's behind this, and if you in any way see that costs can come down in Mekonomen Norway.
Why it's increasing? It's the different reasons, but one of the reasons in Norway is the transportation costs, which is increasing more than we can save in other areas, for example. But to your last question, if we can decrease it or not, I'm sure that we will during the period onward, we will make sure that the cost development in Norway is not increasing anyway. We're looking into if it's possible to do some savings also.
All right. I think you commented here that your sales of accessories had been quite good, and then still consumer sales is down quite significantly. Is this are we seeing here some acceleration in a weak DIY trend, or is there something that you can comment on why the consumer sales is so weak?
Yeah, but first of all, it's not completely comparable, because when the accessory sales development is best in Sørensen and Balken, and they do not only sell directly to consumers. So they sell accessories to other stores, to other actors in the market, to car dealers and so on. So that accessory increasement, which we see in Norway, doesn't necessarily happen in the consumer group. So I would say that it's two different questions. But the sales to consumer, the retail part, is slightly decreasing. I think there is a market trend also, long-term such, with the lower do-it-yourself market and more leaving the car to the workshop.
Mm. It's not really, to your assessment, lost market shares, and more of a weaker market overall.
I don't think we, or I know that we're not losing market shares towards other offline actors. It might be But it's very, very small numbers, and you can see it if you look on the other online actors, that the somewhat of these sales is drifting on from offline to online. But since we don't have any huge development on the online actors, it can't be that much, but it can be some small amount.
All right. Well, just finally, did you mention what terms your new borrowing is? What interest you're paying?
No, we haven't communicated that.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time, but if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have no questions coming through at this time. Please continue.
Okay. If it's not any more questions, then I would thank you so much for listening, and we will soon be on the line again. So thank you for today.
Excuse me, sorry. We have one more question.
Okay. Shoot.
So the next question comes from the line of Matt Lees from Kepler. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Okay. Thank you. Was a bit late there. Well, you mentioned things are moving in the right direction in Sweden, and my question is if you could indicate how much more there is to be done, or before you're back, so to speak.
I would not give any progress, the prognosis in numbers, but my feeling is that we have an organization in place, the right organization. We have a new managing director in place since a couple of months, and we have a stable organization, stable work. There is not so much more that we can do in terms of big changes. So now it's just hard work out there too. And that is all the time focus on the customers and the customer relations. And but we have all the possibilities at the moment. And there is nothing which we can blame on internal matters and so on.
I guess there is some sort of Easter impact involved in your business there, especially in Norway. But I guess you managed to handle that well. How should we sort of play out the second and third quarter? Is there any sort of Easter impact that will be making the third quarter look a bit better? Maybe are there? My question is probably that: how do you see the seasonal impact there, the year-over-year trend in the going into the third quarter?
We don't have any effects in seasonal effects between the years, the rest of the year. So, but then there is number of work days who is affecting only.
Thank you. And the LKQ cooperation. Last quarter, you mentioned you're in some pre-study about what could be done in integrating procurement, having the same suppliers. Or have you come further in those?
No, we have not, and it's still too early. There is starting up groups which are looking into these possibilities for the future, but we have not achieved any effects on that so far, and we can't give any numbers on what it can give in the future as well.
Finally, you mentioned the Strängnäs center of error thing are moving along according to plan, and could you just remind me about remaining investments needed in that project?
Remaining in, do you mean in terms of money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By and large, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have that number, I'm sorry, so I need to come back to that. But we as I think there is Carl is searching in the papers here, so we'll see if we can find it.
Oh, I guess it's moving along according to plan, but no.
Yes. So it's no changes in what we have said before, at least.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you. We have another question coming from the line of Mikael Löfdahl from Carnegie. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I came in actually a bit late, so maybe you have mentioned this, but I wanted to first ask on the recruitment side, because I mean, obviously there is a shortage of mechanics and or engineers, as you call it. If you look at that and I mean, we hear that from other players as well. What about wage inflation and the risk of some sort of margin pressure coming from that? What do you see when you hire now or renegotiate with the existing staff?
Yeah, there is of course a risk, but I don't see that development. The last time we had a very difficult situation, probably six, seven years ago, then we had somewhat increased salaries, which had an effect. It doesn't affect us so much because this is our customers' costs, but it can be an indirect effect on us also. And then we have this small company with 30 workshops ourselves as well. But we haven't seen it at the moment. The salaries is quite okay, and we don't, and I don't think any other players use the salary in terms of recruitment. It's more other values that we try to put out.
Okay. And another question on your customer mix. First of all, the growth numbers that you mention here among the customer groups, could we get those numbers adjusted for calendar days as well? Do you have that distribution? I mean, we don't know exactly the geographic distribution among the customer groups, so it's difficult to get an exact number, but perhaps you have them.
No, we don't have them, but we can be possible for next time to do that, but we don't have it here, no.
Okay. And from a more long-term view, if we look 5 years from now or your long-term plans here for these different customer groups, how do you see this playing out? I mean, there is, I guess, a difference in the offering and sales and marketing and so on for the consumer segment, and perhaps that is moving more into the online space with a bit of margin pressure. And on the workshop side, I guess there is also maybe a trend for some of the branded workshops gaining market share, whereas some of the smaller chains and the single workshops out there, non-affiliated, are losing market share. How do you see this playing out? Where do you see the customer segment mix 5 years from now?
Now, that's a good and interesting question. I believe that if you look at into the market, not McNorman specific, I think that the in 5 years, we will have a higher concentration of authorized garages, and branded garages will have a much higher part of the total market. And those non-branded, smaller workshop with one or two mechanics, they will lose market share, and they will not be able to invest for the future. And we also have seen that the age structure of those who are running this kind of workshop is also a matter, because they're starting to be in the area of pension, and they don't have so much to sell or to take over from next generations. So I definitely think that one of the winner is the branded workshops, and that will probably also affect the how it will look in Mekonomen. So I believe that we will have a higher sales to affiliated workshops in the future. But 5 years is quite long term, so maybe we'll have at that time find other interesting areas which we have at that time.
But looking then at the margins that you have today, when you sell to the smaller chains or the single non-affiliated or non-authorized workshops versus selling to, because you also sell to the branded ones, which are in the B2B segment, I would assume that you can get pretty good margins from selling to these smaller and non-authorized firms. And if they then disappear, maybe in a few years' time, would that be a negative?
Yeah, it could be on the margin side, but then it should be lower costs for selling, because then we have higher volumes on the transportation car out. We have lower costs for selling. We have so it should be compensated by lower other costs. And the margin difference is not that big either. So I'm quite sure that we can manage to compensate that.
The consumer business then, I mean, there's been historically a bit on and off in terms of whether or not focusing on consumers and the stores and store locations and so on.
Yeah, but I believe that we have different brands in the group, and we will try to focus on different areas. Mekonomen as the strongest brand in the group is the chain which definitely should handle consumer and retail sales even in the future. I don't think that market is dead at all. So we will do what we can to be still competitive in that area as well.
Okay. And finally, more also perhaps long-term question, or it's two on the same topic. First of all, the being an authorized workshop or being the branded workshop, and with the increased complexity of the cars and so on, do you feel that you are able to compete on sort of the same level as the branded workshops on the new cars let's call them 3-year-old now and going 3 year up the road from now also, or do you feel that it's becoming more difficult not to be a branded workshop?
I would say that we have there's two ways of looking into that problem. One is the competition rights and the European laws about how competition should be made in the right way, and the other one is do we have the skill to take care about in technical matters. And starting with the second part, if we have the skills and the tools for the technical part, I'm quite sure that we will be competitive now and in the future as well. There's no dramatic, let's say, technology shift which make it impossible. It's a natural development, and it happens. The technology is quite similar in all the different brands of I mean car makes. It's about the competition law, which is quite strong, and of course we see that authorized or the car producers, they try to lock in the market, but we're quite sure that on the European level there will not be happening. And we also believe that we have very strong arguments on our side in terms of consumer value. So no, I'm not that worried about that future.
Okay. And the final on the perhaps the same topic then. And sorry for just speaking about potential threats here, but I want to eliminate them perhaps. You mentioned on the market trends that there is a strong market now, and you should benefit from you know a growing car fleet of 3-year-old or above cars. But of course, scrapping has been on low levels, and also you mentioned that the market should be good unless the export of cars or scrapping increases. Mm. And if you look now at the large portion of new cars being sold through private lease agreements, that should imply that perhaps you get shorter life cycles for the consumer for the cars, that you replace the car every 3 years and you just jump on a new lease agreement. And the old fleet that we have in Sweden is bound to be renewed, or actually at least the average age. And you did you had a venture within the leasing space yourself, which has been a bit downplayed perhaps. But how, if this happens and if the car fleet is going to be younger in Sweden and renewed more often, how do you position yourself here? Because I guess you need to team up perhaps with car dealers or you know start to focus more on a bit newer cars eventually.
Yes, and what we are doing and how we are thinking, I would not expose this officially, but of course there is we have some plans for that as well. The risk which you are mentioning, we see the risks as well, and we do what we can to find ways of eliminating it. It is, however, though it's a very slow process because it's a large amount of car which should be renewed. So it's nothing which will happen from one quarter to another. So it's a slow process. So but we keep an eye on it, definitely.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, again, thank you everybody for listening.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect. The speaker, please stand by.